Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen! So why? Since Christ is risen, do we Christians continue to suffer in so many unjust ways? Doesn't it stand to reason that if Christ is risen, victorious over death and the grave, that he would intervene to relieve us, those who trust in him and follow him, relieve us of our unjust suffering? Where is the risen Christ when I need him in the face of being mistreated? Indeed, isn't this the reason why so many former Christians are former Christians? And isn't this the reason why many of us are sometimes tempted to turn away? The Word of God teaches us differently, correcting our sinful skepticism which resides in our sinful nature. In today's epistle from 1 Peter chapter 2, 19 through 20, we read, "This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Now, first of all, we should be conscientious about the context of what St. Peter was addressing precisely. Peter was writing to house slaves, among others, in this epistle, who belonged to Roman Empire families. There were many slaves throughout the empire. When Christianity was preached to them, many slaves were converted to it. Unfortunately for these house slaves, they were being pummeled by their irate masters, the only offense of the house slaves being that they lived Christ-like lives which were used of the Holy Spirit to convict their masters of their sin. So yes, St. Peter was addressing Christian house slaves in the first century in the Roman Empire. But taken in the greater context of Scripture, St. Peter is also echoing the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, spoken to all believers. And yet we will come back to St. Peter to realize the richness of his words from God. But again, our Lord spoke similarly as recorded in the Gospels. And today we'll look at an example from St. Matthew's Gospel and then St. Luke's Gospel. Matthew 5. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And in Luke chapter 6 and following, 6:27 and following, Jesus taught, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we learn more about this grace that's given to us. It's easy to go along with the popular idea that God is setting up some kind of religious transaction. You endure bad things without complaining, and then I'll come back and reward you. This understanding falls short, especially since this section of God's word is anchored to the very heart of the gospel of Christ. This endurance of the Christian is bound to the rest of what St. Peter records. For to this endurance in the midst of unjust suffering, you've been called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The Lord, through his gospel, the wonderful good news that he saved you from your sins and death, has called you to live in faith no matter what. And especially when you are caused to suffer, and especially when that cause is unjust, when it's wrong, when you shouldn't have to. Why would God permit this? Precisely, dear Christians, because such a life demonstrates not that the risen Lord is not here, but much to the contrary, that the risen Lord is here. There would be no endurance in the face of unjust suffering if Jesus himself were not upholding you, keeping you in his grace, following him when every atom of your being wants to run and hide in the opposite direction. This is a gracious thing that the Lord grants, that the Lord gives through the gospel, that you may endure. This is God's gracious work, when we can stand so that we can stand. And not only is our faith refined, but the Lord then uses us to be a witness to those who observe. Eusebius of Caesarea wrote in the 4th century. He was a Christian historian who also wrote about the martyrs. In Eusebius's ecclesiastical history, he writes about the holy martyrs. They endured tortures beyond all description. Satan striving with all his power that some blasphemy might be uttered by them. Most violently did the collective madness of the mob, the governor, and the soldiers rage against a Christian woman named Blandina, also in whom Christ made manifest that the things that appear mean and deformed and contemptible among men are esteemed of great glory with God on account of love to him, which is really and powerfully displayed and glories not in mere appearance. Blandina was filled with such power that her ingenious tormentors, who relieved and succeeded each other from morning until night, they confessed. They were overcome and had nothing more that they could inflict upon her. Only amazed that she still continued to breathe after her whole body was torn asunder and pierced. They gave their testimony that one single kind of the torture inflicted was of itself enough to destroy life, without resorting to so many and such excruciating sufferings as these. But this blessed saint, as a noble wrestler, in the midst of her confession itself, renewed her strength. And to repeat, I am a Christian. No wickedness is carried on by us, was to her rest, refreshment, and relief from pain. This unjust suffering was like a supernova of light to the enemies of the gospel and to the other Christians who were watching on. Such endurance is not of this world. God is present, upholding his people. This, as St. Peter writes, is a gracious thing. When you are mindful that when you suffer, even or especially when it is unjust, but when your mind and your heart is also so transfixed to the Lord Jesus and what he did for you, then you are given grace to stand in the gospel. You are given grace to endure. And this in and of itself is powerful. Not only is it powerful to sustain you, but it's powerful in giving witness that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is with you. He is alive indeed. Otherwise, you would have been crushed a long, long time ago. But we resist this truth. And indeed, we are expert complainers. Our complaints are on just about everything. And all we are doing is describing our frustration, irritation, inconvenience, exasperation, our discomfort, our pain that is caused by other people in this world. And in the midst of that complaining, we do not pray for our enemies, but we curse them. We do not keep back retaliation, but we want revenge. And we fight back. This is the way of the sinner. This is the way of the one who has no consideration of what Christ has done for them. This is our way. But again, St. Peter is not waxing eloquent about moralism. 1 Peter is not a returning to the law and forsaking of the gospel. No way. In fact, it would be hard to find a more vivid New Testament example of the gospel that is so powerfully described in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53, which Peter is essentially quoting. Isaiah 53 tells us what the Lord Jesus did about our sins, the sins of others that caused you suffering, and for that matter, what the Lord did about your sin in vengeful response to your enemies. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. And yet he had every right to complain. That it was your sin and my sin that took him to the cross. It was your sin and my sin that caused more unjust, unfair suffering upon him than what has ever been endured by anybody. But he did it to save you. He did it to pay for your sins. He did it so that you would have eternal life. He, the author of all blessed endurance, endured so much for you and me that he permitted through the torture that he endured his appearance to be so marred beyond human semblance. That means that he didn't even look human anymore. The blessed martyr Blandina followed in Jesus' steps. Which of us has ever come close to that? What does it say of our complaining? There's no room for it, and we must confess it at the foot of the cross. But this is also why Christ bore our sins, as St. Peter wrote. in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live in his righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls, your good shepherd, Jesus. Thank God for a good shepherd who saves us from our complaining hearts, who gives grace to endure, not so that we can try to look good or to rub it in the face of our enemies. We receive this grace to know that Christ is living and to show all men this truth. He lives to lead us. And sometimes his leading is to permit us to suffer unjustly, like he did. But it's always for the good, to demonstrate that the living Lord Jesus is holding you up. Nothing else could. It is to show that the good pleasure of the Lord rests on you. You are like your Savior. This is a gracious thing. And it must be that you therefore belong to Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand.